Sports Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line today. We're talking tourism and hospitality today. I'd like you to have your say by calling 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Now, let's face it, we're never going to get back to 80 or 90,000 or 100,000 people coming over one weekend, which is what happened before the First War. But we seem to be holding up, and this ambitious target that they have, let's visit Isle of Man. But I'm just wondering what you think we could do better for the tourists who come here. Now, one professional who's right in the middle of it is Jed Power. Fastamai. Hi, Jed.
Fastamai, Andy, and hello, listeners.
Did you start your business from scratch? Were you in the business before?
Yes, it started off with the Golf Holidays Company, and that was 15 years ago. And there was a desire and a need for transport, so I got involved in minibuses and transport operations. And then as time pressed on, you engage with destination companies and other stakeholders on the island, and it just grows and grows, because what a great proposition we've got here.
8 golf courses.
Yes, indeed. And interesting that yesterday we had 46 golfers playing on different golf courses around.
You brought 46 golfers to the island.
That's right. And you know, what a great economic impact that is for the island, because they're big spenders. They like to eat and drink. And it gets shared out through the restaurants and bars. So you could, say, translate that into, I don't know, £13,000-£14,000. Into the hospitality trade straight away.
Okay, so we got, let me see, Rowney, Castletown, Peel, Mount Murray, Douglas, Ramsey, King Edward Bay, and Port St Mary.
That's correct,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what a collection.
Okay, I won't ask you to say what everybody's favourite is, but which golf courses get the most compliments?
You know, they all do, and it's the big friendly welcome that you get from the staff there. There's always that. People love golf, and they like to try different courses. There's a different experience every time. So you come to the Isle of Man, we've got so many options. Of course, Castletown is fantastic out at Langness, but the views at Port St Mary are unparalleled. Same for, you know, King Edward Bay, just across the bay here from Manx Radio.
Okay, so when golfers come to the Isle of Man, typically how long do they come for?
Usually it's 2 nights, 3 rounds. Maybe more than that, but you know, we've got so many options, and there's a lot of après golf activities. We've got the likes of the electric tram and the other features of our island.
Okay, now I take you're a big Everton fan, aren't you?
I'm not. I'm a Bolton Wanderers fan. How dare you? But I'm tuned into the new Everton Stadium. Yeah. And I've mentioned this. I've even mentioned this to the minister on one of the roadshows that we had, was it last September? That what a great opportunity we've got with that football stadium being so close to our sea terminal in Liverpool. So surely we can capture the attention of 55,000 people to think about coming to the Isle of Man. It could be a billboard, who knows? Yeah. But I think we could be better than that. I think we could have a great partnership with that club and just get some right messages into the minds of those people who make their way to the ground anyway. And it's, you know, on the away fixture, who knows, come to the Isle of Man, maybe have a £10 passenger ticket, because there's 900 seats on that boat, isn't it? And really, if we've got an empty seat, is that a defeat? Are we losing out? Why can't we have, in our off-peak, you know, times, crowds and hordes of people coming over here, you know, enjoying our pubs and bars and our brilliant local beer?
Yeah, so some sort of partnership, even if you, as you say, if there's some sort of voucher that they get when they come in the stadium, that you can apply for a 50% off ticket or a cheap ticket to come to the Isle of Man, because, as you say, there will be, you can see the thing, you can see the boat leaving there. If the boat's in, you can see it there from the stadium in that part of the dock at the moment.
Indeed, and you know, something like a partnership with someone like Duncan Ferguson, you know, who's followed, you know, religiously by the Everton patrons. But we've also got the sea terminal. Why not come and see one of the world's most expensive buildings, you know, per square foot? I mean, It's cost more than like the Sultan's Palace up to now. So let's make a talking point about that and get the interest of the Northwest travellers.
Okay, so what's your future, your view of the future overall? Are you optimistic about the future for hospitality and tourism?
I am super optimistic about the Isle of Man, and the likes of the TT movie will deliver a great message right across the globe, because it was filmed in the first week of a practice week. I know they're coming back. The island was coated in sunshine. We've got the TT brand that people love and they're getting to know. And not just that, we've got our friend Tyson Fury and the coverage that he's getting and what he's bringing to the island. But in addition to that, there are other elements, our films of the past. I told you before about, I had a group who were interested in Waking Ned, who came from
Boston. That was years ago, Waking Ned, wasn't it?
I know, but this particular family, every St. Patrick's Day, they would watch Waking Ned, and it was their dream to visit the Isle of Man. So they came over last week, and we went to all the various film locations.
Whereabouts Fantastic. Were they from?
Boston.
Massachusetts?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I had to force myself to watch the movie again, and I would recommend anyone. It's on YouTube, and it is fantastic, showcasing some beauty that we've got around our shores. So it just shows, and it's not the first time that it's happened. I deal with a lot of Americans, and they're all very familiar with Waking Ned. But if we could just, capitalise on the TT film, or maybe make our own film, drama, whatever, we could call it.
Is there a poster, or is there a plaque to Waking Ned anywhere?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we finished up the tour at Marine Drive, which for me is one of those locations that people love. It's so dramatic, and the Victorians, they saw the potential of Marine Drive. There's so much up there, and yet now it's in a bit of ruin. It's not looking too pretty, but you take anyone up there and they love it.
Talking about the TT as well, I mean, obviously the government's got it fairly well ring fenced. They've got the rights to the whole TT thing. Is there anything else that can come out of the TT, do you think?
I'm absolutely bemused why we don't sell the rights, say, to the mountain circuit, because the likes of, say, the big motorcycle manufacturers, certainly Honda, will have got millions and millions of pounds out of sales as a result of the TT. So I know that people come here to travel the circuit. The business itself through Duke has these wonderful TT tours where we get a former rider, Roger Hurst, takes them round up to the museum and round and about, and they're fantastic. They work really well, and people love to have the photograph at Guthrie's and round and about. But we need to join it up. We need to make the TT grandstand a little bit more informative. Why not have the best lap time? Why not have a roll of honour and some more information there? I go there with my own tours and things all the time, but we just need that little bit more. So imagine if we sold the rights for the TT, say, for $5 million a year, and we made it a feature, and perhaps maybe put some cameras on the circuit so that people in the day-to-day, business could just look on screen and have a bit of love for the Isle of Man and see what's going on.
Do you think, Jed, it's because we're all very, they say, don't they, familiarity breeds contempt, and lots of people, we know we drive the roads all the time, and then, we get the people coming over once a year for that, and also for the MGP and what have you. So are you saying that we don't really know what the potential of it is? Do you think we take it for granted?
Absolutely. I mean, take for instance today, we've got this beautiful big cruise ship in the bay, and we've got hundreds of people involved in the transportation of the visitors around the island, and they're seeing it for the first time. And I can say from personal experience, they think this place is wonderful. There's no graffiti, there's no litter, it's got character. I know there are parts that annoy us because we see them from day to day, but really they don't see that. They just see the beauty that we've got.
Okay, right, let's get to the phones now. We've got Howard with us first. Hi, Howard, you're live with Jed Power.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Jed.
Hello.
I've just listened to what you're saying there. It's all very true that we don't appreciate what we have, and we're slowly losing it. That's the unfortunate part about it, because of what they term as progress. But when, as I say, and I've said this to Andy before, a long time ago, I and a lot of others used to drive coaches, and we would take people around the island, all over the island, and nooks and crannies, and we were talking to them. Whether that is still done now, but not in such numbers, But you just mentioned the Marine Drive, and we used to take the coaches along there. And the people were amazed just by the scenic views. I appreciate it would be cost prohibitive now to put the viaduct or whatever where Walbury's fell down. And, of course, there's nothing at Port Sudbury now. But all those things added up to what we would term as being a holiday. Two words. I've just been on a holiday. Where'd you go to? The Isle of Man. It was superb. And that was what made the holiday. And I'm quite right in what you say about the new stadium. In the next few years, we're going to be changing the Mananan. And they're going for possibly a different type of vessel. Maybe slightly bigger, still a fast craft, but of a different style. And the ability to fill that vessel during the summer months, etc., or even through the winter, will be there by advertising in that stadium, which is right alongside. You know, it's crazy that they're not thinking outside their bubble. It all seems to concentrate around the TT. Very good. It does bring a number of people here, a lot of people. But those people were already coming before, like I say, they made this TT the one and only item. The likes of your golf. We had football. We had some of the lower league premier coming over, friendlies, doing practice. We had the hockey festivals and all these. But a lot of those were started by people like yourself, individuals, and they built it up to a large festival.
Okay, Jed.
Again,
well, tourism is so important. Every year, we're looking at a £50 million deficit in our home accounts, and we've got to look at making this up, and tourism is absolutely vital. We need to look at career opportunities, people to start businesses, and I do think we've got the potential to do this, and having that link with Liverpool is there already, and we just need to send the right messages out, and I think a lot of this has got to go into digital content. It's got to be something that younger people can get to and relate to. I mean, we just had the story today, Andy, about the newspapers, didn't we? And, you know, trends are changing, but we can dial into this very easily at very little cost.
OK. Howard, what's the latest on the Camera Obscura?
To be perfectly honest, I don't know, because it's a working site now and we're not allowed near it. So that's another one that's... It's going to drag on. I think we're going to lose most of it for the summer, which is a sad reflection on how the tourist industry and the DOI, etc., all work in hand in glove. But well done, Jed, because the golf, I'm not a golfing fan, I don't play it, but there are a lot of people, a huge number of people out there, and a huge number of people that have other different hobbies that would love to come to an island where you can get them all in one neat little bundle.
Okay, Howard, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to hear from you. Now, recently, Jed, the boss of Jack's was saying that they're going to have to shorten their hours because they're short of a chef. And I've heard this many times around the Isle of Man. I mean, chefs command quite a fee and quite a salary. Are there do you ever get any feedback about restaurants and cafes being closed?
I see it right across the board. And sometimes a Sunday can be frustrating when you've got visitors finding a place that's open. But there are some restaurants that do give it 100%. Now, we've got to look at hospitality as a career, and how are we initiating that through our local education, our local college, and how are we developing those careers into long-term, lifetime occupations where people can start up businesses and make some good money like in the past. Now, I don't know what barriers there are. I know there are news items, you know, proclaiming difficulties with the college and so forth. But of course, we've got this drain of young people leaving the Isle of Man as well. So there's some wider issues. But of course, if we've got a hospitality industry that's vibrant and fun, our young people will stay here. It's as simple as that, and it adds to the quality of life.
And there seems to be, and again, I don't know, there's a portion of the population that seems to regard anybody as making a decent profit as criminal. You know, the fact is, people do have to make a living, and anybody who's running, I mean, obviously they're changing hands at the Mona Lisa in Laxey at the moment, but I mean, hospitality can be long hours, and it's not so much a job as a way of life.
Well, things like that could be simply fixed. The bonkers approach of allowing, say, government workers to work from home most days a week is reducing trade from the town, because naturally those people will nip out at lunchtime and do a bit of shopping and maybe buy some lunch. But we've got this, we're stuck in the mud, you know, it's still, you know, a remnant of the COVID times, and that should be gone. And I think it should be a return to work, everyone behind a desk.
Okay, so how do we involve the government more in tourism? Because there's Visit Isle of Man, which is part of the Department for Enterprise. It's fighting for a space there. They've got a tiny budget, I think £2 million, and it doesn't really go on promoting stuff. It goes on people within the... they have what they call key stakeholders, and they enable people.
Well, Kate Lord-Brennan and co. Created the report, didn't they, which studied the agencies and the model around there, and it was an abject failure, really. And so I think they've got to dismantle that, redesign it, and engage further with the privateers, people who've got skin in the game and take the risks. And it is as simple as that. I sat on the Visit agency for 3 years, and it was enormously frustrating to actually see how slow progress was and how difficult it was for decisions to be made. It's almost like people are sat on their hands because they're afraid to do anything. And we need things that are exciting. So, Andy, if you tell me, say, in the last 10 years, can you think of anything that's been built that's for fun?
Don't knock me down for this, but the Bee Gees statue.
Exactly, and that was Douglas Corporation. And you look at the Bee Gees, I mean, it's Sir Barry's 80th birthday on the 1st of September, and the Bee Gees are heard all around the world, all around the world. You travel anywhere, you listen to the radio for an hour, and there's a Bee Gees song, and yet it's not even acknowledged here. And this is crazy. People love the Bee Gees, and, you know, why don't we have, like, a big sign, you know, welcome to the home of the Bee Gees, you know, make a little bit more of it, have a bit of a festival, the Bee Gees bar, give some credit for what they've brought to this island.
It's funny how you often drive, I think most days when you drive down Ridgeway Street, there's always somebody standing by George Formby.
Indeed, people always love statues.
And Norman Wisdom by the Sefton, somebody's always sitting on that bench.
Exactly, and the likes of, say, Sir Mark Cavendish. Okay, we want something that people will visit the Isle of Man and see, to acknowledge Sir Mark Cavendish for what he's done. It's not about the track at the NSC. There's no one would come along to visit that. But what about making a super cycle way completely off the road? And we could do that with our coastal paths and making those into bike tracks and so forth. We need a bit of legislation to do that. But it's possible, and we need to do it.
Visit Isle of Man often talk about walking holidays, cycling holidays, and this, that, and the other. Do you see much evidence of that?
I don't really. I'm a big fan of cycling. I'm a cyclist myself, but there's not much money in it, really. People, when they come here, they cycle for free. And I think a couple of years ago, there was about £1 million designated to make some trails in the forests, but that didn't happen, did it? And then our walkways, if you go down Port Greenock or other places around the island, which the vegetation grows pretty quick, it's sometimes impossible to get through.
And of course, there've been talk recently about the Radnofolian, about the island path, and the fact that that's overgrown. I mean, surely a path is not a path if you can't get along it, is it? It's
absolutely
a barrier.
And I've handled walking groups in the past, and I've got bookings for walking groups, you know, this year, and there is some frustration that they can't get to where they want. But, you know, what could we do, listeners? Should we really look at having, say, people in our prison population to come out and help and get some fresh air and do some work? Is that really that impossible? I don't know.
Interesting you should say that, because I'll mention something in a few minutes' time about that. There was also a question in about, we've got golfers. We talked about golfers, and again, celebrating Mark Cavendish. So is it something in the psyche where we've got these big assets like Mark Cavendish, like the Bee Gees, like Norman Wisdom, like George Formby, and we kind of keep them hidden away.
I think
and we're not proud of them.
I think it just goes back to the people involved, okay? And it's those, if they've got an interest to generate some income for a business, then you know, you've got that drive, haven't you? You've got that drive. But, you know, I drove past the front of the NSC today, and there's a big bush growing up in front of the Mark Cavendish sign there. And it's just that lack of focus. That's what we need to improve on that.
Okay, so tell us, call 66 13 68, text, WhatsApp, email. How do we solve this? How do we do something to improve tourism on the Isle of Man to make, how they, what do they say, to make our offering much better? Juan, hello, Juan, you're live with Jed.
Once they put that statue of you up on the promenade, Andy, they'll be coming in droves. How are you, Jed?
I've just got that image of shining Andy's head in the...
I wasn't going to go that far with that one, Jed. I wasn't going to go that far, but there you go.
Keep going.
The seagulls will be attracted
to it.
They'd
love it. They would love it.
Long time no speak, Jed. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. I mean, business is great. The summer is going well, and there's a lot of visitors around.
And like you said before, I think we mentioned this before when we were talking, golfing, actually, the disposable income that golfers bring into the island is probably more than what we get off the cruise ships, because the cruise ship people, although, you know, the horse tram's full every morning when it's here, they get their meals on board, and most of their stuff is actually on board. So they don't get as much spend per head on the island when they come. It looks more. But I'm a great believer like you. I think the island could turn around with a little bit of help and a little bit of non-hindrance from government. It could turn around very quickly with the right people behind it. And it's an easier way of getting money in without overpopulating our island. We get fresh money in, the people come, they enjoy themselves, they go. And that was always the principle of the island. How would, you know, we got our fresh money in without overpopulating. And like you say, I think the change around now in advertising is got to be looked at. The business, like you say, from Tyson Fury coming in, the amount of people that know the island because of Tyson being here now. And I noticed a thing on YouTube yesterday. It was like, I think it's about 3,500 views at the moment. Three Sisters Farm, a guy who's bought a farm here in the island and is converting it. And the viewing figures go up on these things, and people get interested about the island. And I know from the people who come here with Airbnbs, the short stay, they come for maybe 2 days, 3 days, and there's not enough, because they realise that there's a lot more to do here for them, and they say, oh, we want to come back because it's so nice here. They get this illusion of TT and nothing else, and when they come here, they're quite astounded of what's here for them. But I think we've discussed this a few times at different places. I keep meeting up at different government functions, I think, and hustings and stuff. But to me, I think we have to analyse whether the ferry service was made for a profit or made to serve the island. And I think the general cost of getting people here is prohibitive. And I think, like you said before, with the Everton situation, if we could do some kind of package where we could get the boat journey really, really cheap, if they'd bought a ticket to a show, we've got a fantastic Matcham Theatre, we've got a venue there at the Villa Marina, you can sit comfortably and watch a show without having to have binoculars. And if we could advertise these shows and put a package together where the people felt that it was affordable to come on the boat, and then they'd have the boat on sales, they'd have the drinks, and they'd have the meals on board, and the spend money here. Do you think generally, and that's my question on that one, is the boat overpriced for getting here?
I don't actually in certain respects. So, for instance, I can think of, say, a visitor who I met, say, from Northern Ireland, who had heard a commercial on Downtown Radio, and they brought the car over, and it's cost £300 for the week. So I think that's okay. And I think foot passengers, can we get the ticket for, say, £60, something like that? It would be great if we could do it for less, because I just see that an empty seat is a lot of revenue, and we need to overcome that. And I think the likes of these packages and events and people coming over, say, for the bowls tournament, that's fantastic. Great people and love a beer. The likes of the football festival or FC Isle of Man, I think we can really push that harder and really almost send out a personal invite to every fan of a visiting team and say, look, come over, we'll look after you, we'll give you a great time, and here's a couple of beer tokens. Because we've got, what, over four breweries producing the most fantastic ale, and it'll just go straight back into the economy straight away. So there's so much scope, so much fun to be had.
So what do you think FC Isle of Man, what sort of help do they need?
I think it's just reaching into the visiting teams and their fan base, and perhaps being more proactive.
FC Isle of Man bring thousands of people to the Isle of Man.
They do, and I'm lucky enough to handle the visiting teams and the fans with the buses and so forth, and they do have a great time. They love it. They absolutely love it.
Juan?
And like you said there, Jed, you know, if you've got a boat which is futuristically made for the next 20 years, we've got a lot of space on that boat. And the worst boat sailing of all is the overnight ferry, because no one wants to sail on it. So to me, in a business sense, I'd make it attractive. You know, if you put it on at a really cheap price and got people over here, offered them an early entry into the hotel with a breakfast package and a show ticket. So it was a package, but you fill that boat up, because if it's coming over empty, like you say, it's got to sail anyway, and it's the freight that's making the money. So fill it up with passengers, get them over here, get the hotels full, get them here for an extended length of time, get the shows on at the villa. It's a win-win situation to me, and I don't see the reason why it can't be done. A little bit of outside the box thinking, and not the case of, well, we want to close the door at 10 o'clock and go home and forget about this. Like, let's get these places open and get them running. And I'm totally agree. I think it's, you know, it could quite easily turn this round with the right people behind it and less government intervention, should I say.
Juan, you used to be involved in wrestling years and years ago. How many shows at the maximum used to be on at the villa?
We used to work all week. We'd do two shows a week here at the Villa Marina, 35 shows in a season, and now you're down to one. We used to go from here to Rhyl, to Clandudnol. We used to do all the holiday camps. We were working five, 6 nights a week. The Isle of Man was one of our biggest halls. The Villa Marina, it was such a fantastic hall to work in. And it was busy. And like I said, back in the 80s, I had the Murig Park. It was busy. Russian Abbey back in its day of the markets, you had 19 coaches used to pull up in a day, and they go to Russian Abbey and Silverdale. So people do want to spend, they want to go on holiday, and I think with a lot of the stuff that's happening far away now, even in Spain, the aggravation of going there, I think the Isle of Man, it could turn round. We just need to think outside the box, I think. I agree with Jed.
Okay, all right. Juan, thanks for calling today. Just going back to FC Isle of Man, I mean, obviously they've survived, I think, for 5 years or so now. But it's fair to say that they can be on a knife edge at time financially. It would be a shame to see it go, wouldn't it, if FC Isle of Man disappeared? Because it brings a lot to the island.
I think it should be here for the long term, and it's good. You know, football on the Isle of Man is so important. It's so important that young people, especially, you know, men in their late teens, early 20s, are occupied and maybe aspiring, you know, to represent their national team.
Okay, we're live with Jed Power talking hospitality and tourism today. Call, text, email and WhatsApp.
Healthcare can often feel disjointed, uncoordinated and lonely, especially when off-island care is required. That is not the case at Clinique Savoie. With clinics in Douglas and Ramsey, Clinique Savoie is the first private integrated healthcare service to bring together Manx GPs, specialists and carefully selected partners who all work together to ensure your care is completely focused on you. Call 682000 or visit cliniquesavoie.com. Take the next step with Clinique Savoie.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
If you have a few hours to spare, have you thought about joining the Hyperbaric Chamber team? With a variety of roles from consultants to cleaners. Please search Hyperbaric Chamber Isle of Man or ring 626 394. Or to find out more about our life-saving and life-changing services, go to hbot.im.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
For a trustworthy removal and storage solution, contact Dave's Removals and Storage, offering man and van removals, clearances and long or short-term storage with pick-up and drop-off service. Call 258-766 or find Dave's Removals and Storage on Facebook.
At Ramsey Garden Centre, enjoy exclusive savings and get inspiration for your home or garden. And as stock arrives every week, drop in or follow our Facebook page. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
Wimbledon 2026 is now well underway, and here on Manx Radio we're celebrating by serving up strawberries and cream to workplaces around the Isle of Man. We'll be out making deliveries for the next fortnight, and if you'd like us to visit your workplace or a place of work you think deserves a sweet treat, all you need to do is fill in the nomination form at manxradio.com. Entries close tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Serve up some Wimbledon fun and bring a touch of centre court to your workplace with Orchard Recruit, Tesco and Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
A message in from Morgan. Thank you, Morgan, who just said, I'm truly delighted to hear that golfing's being promoted on the island. I'm not a golfer, but Irish golfers can access the Isle of Man very easily. If they're just making a quick trip, they're spoiled for choice with great accommodation in and around Castletown. I'd love to see the island advertised better in Ireland, as I've always told people how beautiful it is and just a short hop away. That's Morgan. Malcolm just said, what does Jed think about the price of visitor golf on the Isle of Man? Are some courses missing out by comparison with others?
There's something for everyone, really, on the island. There's a range of courses. And, you know, compared to some of the big courses in the UK and Northern Ireland, say Royal County Down, it's £450 a round per person.
Crikey. And what's the most economical round on the Isle of Man?
It'd be difficult to say, but I think you're looking at around about £25 at some of the local courses.
Okay, let's go to Stuart with us now. Hello, Stuart. You're live with Jed Power.
Good afternoon. I was hoping to speak about diving tourism, particularly wreck diving tourism.
Turn your radio off, otherwise we'll all go cross-eyed. Just come back
away from the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it's something I'm trying my hardest to get somebody interested. I don't know how to further it, but it's something I've been keen on for a while. I'm a member of the Peel Town Commissioners. They're interested, but it's not down to them apparently, and I just don't know where I could go. But I do know, as a diver, it's an interest that people have.
Yeah.
It's not something that we have particularly on the island. Divers will spend a lot of money on their diving, and there's a broad spectrum of people who are keen on diving. They might be people who are living on a liveaboard boat for a week or two, diving around the islands, or they might just walk in off a beach and make their own arrangements.
Have we got many wrecks around the island then, Stuart?
No, not really.
So what would the divers be looking at?
Well, I mean, they'd probably like historical wrecks, but obviously we wouldn't have many historical boats that we'd want to sink. But people like diving around fishing boats, any sort of boat, because there's so wrecks about, few wrecks about, people are keen to dive. And they encourage fish to come and settle around the sunk boats, and that encouraged divers as well, because they like to see the sea life.
Okay.
Do encourage a lot of life.
All right, Jed, do you know much about diving?
I know that it's specialised, and to have a tour company, you'd have to have a lot of initial cost, and there'd be some liability issues as well. But don't we have an MHK
who's
knowledgeable about this?
She loves it. And I also mentioned, we're talking about things that are notable to the Isle of Man. I saw a post on, I think it was Facebook or LinkedIn, about this big thing they're doing for Pilates at Nocalo. They're trying to get the world's biggest Pilates class. 3,500 people in the field where Joseph Pilates, who was interned here, invented Pilates. And of course, that's a worldwide thing. It was invented here.
It was, and I'd urge anyone to visit the Nocalo Centre.
That's another thing, isn't it?
It is super.
And that's one thing. And again, it's like the TT, it's like the horse trams. Mm. the only one in the world. That was the only place where people were interned in the British Isles in the first. And it was huge. Knockhaler was huge. They had their own railway. They had their own bakery. They printed their own newspaper. And Pilates, worldwide phenomenon, invented on the Isle of Man. And we sometimes just keep our light under a bushel.
The museum centre at the site is something else. I was there on Monday night. I probably go once every few months when I've got a tour group, and it is one of the number one attractions.
And
I'd
what
say.
Do the tourists think of it?
Oh, they love it because there's so many stories and there's something for everyone. Because you've got the artistry, the furniture making, as we know, the jewellery aspect that we know about, and of course the filmography, the photography from that site is something else. And they've got this huge model of how big the site was. 15,000 people with its own railway.
Yeah, it was huge. Stephen's on now. Hi, Stephen. You're live with Jed Power.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good afternoon, Jed. And good afternoon, listeners. I listening to Jed and listening to people ring up, it is obvious that there's a great interest in expanding tourism and trying to make it a much more viable industry. And I just wondered, is the problem just fundamental, and that is that the current last couple of administrations haven't really given sufficient support or weight to the tourist industry? And I wonder, and I muse, is the problem that we need to go back to having a full minister within the Council of Ministers who can champion the whole industry and all the things that are associated with tourism, to champion these things within the Council of Ministers? Because at the moment it's within the Department of Enterprise, which is just a visit industry. And I'm sure I remember the new rep for visit, the lady who said one of the fundamental problems of our industry is that the cost of getting here. So I just ask Jed, should we go back to a full minister within the council of ministers who can champion this and try and get more money? Because until we provide more things, I don't think the private sector is going to come up with any great grand schemes. So we need a greater seed corn from government itself and greater representation. What do you think, Jed? Would you agree with that?
We've got some good resources in that department. And for some reason, have we got a lack of motivation in there? Have we got a lack of guidance, a lack of ambition? I don't know, but it doesn't quite fit. And take, for instance, say the minister. So that person, have they got a background in tourism? Do they understand it? And I think really you've got to have worked on the coal face of this industry to fully get it. Okay, you have to have that interest, and it could be a commercial interest. For me, I would say hand the majority of business over into the private sector and create a mechanism where destination management operations really get a grip and create engine rooms of activity, because it really is the last chance saloon. As you know, we're on a 50 million deficit every year, and this is one area of growth that we've got. We look at other sectors, the finance sector and other aspects of the Isle of Man economy. And can we identify any growth at the moment? No. Are we in a recession? Possibly. We've got to have some serious conversations about how we do this, how we deal with this in this next administration, because there is money to be made in tourism and the visitor economy worldwide. It's a multi-billion dollar market, and we can have a share of that for sure.
Would you trust private enterprise more than government, Stephen?
Well, I think it needs to be a partnership. One without the other is no good. But I noticed, Jed, you didn't mention anything where I said we should really go back to a full department of tourism, which would be in its own right, and also have a seat at the table of the Council of Ministers. And
I'll ask you, should we have a tourism minister, Jed?
We should have a single body Okay, the thought of a tourism minister, well, who is that person going to be? Have they got the knowledge, interest and passion
right.
to actually skillfully manage a strategy? Because a strategy at the moment just doesn't work. And I think having somebody who's a figurehead, who's proven in this game, I think they need to be running the show. I really do.
Okay, Stephen, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being with us. Good to hear from you. So, of course, the name that always looms large in this is David Cretney. You know, David Cretney, the Minister of Fun, a cavalier character. Everybody knew him. And, you know, he was the one tourism minister who took part in the MGP. I remember seeing him flying down Bray Hill. 100-mile-an-hour ministry was. And everybody knew that. And when he was there with Terry Toohey, they made a formidable force.
And a big character, a big personality. But in those days, remember, we had the unlimited chequebook. So this is pre-2007, when we had so much money to dispose of, and now it's changed. We've got to make the money, and we've got to get the people. We've got to have bums on seats. We've got to have pints pulled and drunk. We've got to have hotel beds filled, and we've got to have a really sharp effort now in making this happen over the next 5 years. It's not about having yoga in plantations. It's not about, you know, a pot full of scallops on Peel Breakwater. We have to get the numbers over here.
Jed Power's on till one today. Hospitality and tourism on Man in Line.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager, stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine, Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man, 627-335.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612-333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
Housing, benefits or employment issues, faulty goods, bad workmanship, financial problems and relationship breakdowns. We all run into difficulties in life and it can feel like there's no one who can help you sort them out. But at Manx Citizens Advice Service, we can help. As an independent charity, we offer free, confidential support covering all sorts of areas. You don't need an appointment. Just call in at Promenade Church, Lock Promenade Douglas, or call 366-338. Open Tuesdays from 12:30 till 3 and Fridays 10 till 12:30. Manx Citizens Advice Service. Your advice service.
Ellen Van In Fuels would like to wish everyone at the Southern 100 Races a safe and successful time in this year's event. Ellen Van In Fuels, supporting the friendly races.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And talking of which, the tourism, the commentary team will be out at Balloon from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. It's Chris Kinley along with Rob Pritchard and Beth Espy will be there. All the action on AM 1360. Frank's on now. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Right. This is something I think I've mentioned once before. It's quite a big thing, but nobody seems to take any notice. I don't know whether everybody that's listening understands this, but every American child is taught at school the founder of America is a man called Miles Standish. And Miles Standish comes from the Isle of Man. Now, you know what the Americans are like when they want to know about history and everything else. They're very keen on it. Now, I went to Boston some years ago, and I went aboard. They'd made a duplicate of the Mayflower, which was a ship in 16, whatever it was, went and landed and found America. how they built the replica, and at the exact spot where they landed, they've rebuilt the little village that they created. And what they've got, and this is 24/7, they have actors playing all the parts of the people that are on the Mayflower. And they live there 24/7, and they talk in Old English. And I went there, and I asked if I could speak to Miles Standish. So they said he was over there in his cottage. He was just cooking a chicken on the stove when I went in there. And I said, could I speak to Miles Standish, please? And this man said, I'm Miles Standish. I said, I've just come from your home, the Isle of Man. Well, he was absolutely elated because I'd come from the Isle of Man to talk to him. He knew everything about the Isle of Man, all the history and everything else up to that period in time. Now, I think if the tourist board, whoever's in charge of one, because there's been some brilliant ideas this morning, I've been listening to them all on the radio, and I thought they were brilliant. But then in America, if they advertise in America that this is the island where the founder of America came from, I believe you would get thousands and thousands of Yanks coming over here.
Okay. All right, Frank, thanks for that. We've got to move on because we're short of time at the moment. This comes back to genealogy and ancestral tourism, which I know there's a lot of.
What a lovely story. What a lovely story that was.
Fantastic, isn't it?
You know, what a memory for a visitor. And if we can create those similar memories for everyone that comes to the island, it just brings people back and it sends out great messages.
Well, we've got representation in America, obviously, because of the Star of India.
Indeed.
In San Diego, you know, and it's been mentioned previously, the people that have been over there, everybody knows that it was from the Isle of Man. And there's no representation there, not even a leaflet to say, you know, you can come to the Isle of Man, see where... I mean, there's now a plaque on Ramsey Quayside about the whole thing. I want to talk to you about indoor venues, because, let's face it, nobody comes to the Isle of Man for the weather, the reliable weather on the Isle of Man, because sometimes you can get four seasons in one day. How do we stand for indoor venues on the island, Jed?
We struggle, and we got well and truly stung at TT, didn't we? And I'm a little bit bemused that we had the village there at the Villa Marina. Was it the Bushies village, I think? But it's really, we've got the Villa Marina itself, and, you know, could we use that at TT week maybe as a, you know, a pop-up kind of wet weather venue? I think it's important that we get round that and be clever and skillful. But on another note, I look over at that sad Summerland site, and it kills me inside that we're almost disrespecting its history. And can we do something where, I don't know, attract some private money? It could be all the way from Dubai or what have you, or really make a good pitch to build a super duper premises. It could be like a super hotel, casino, whatever, but something that is a venue and a place to go.
Here's a message in from Big John in Ramsey, who just said, it's important and necessary to install wind turbines. What's your view on wind turbines? And some people say that if we had them, it would destroy tourism.
Well, I was waiting for this one. And it depends where the wind turbines are, first of all.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, there's so much being given to the wind farm out at sea there. And it's one of those, is it? What can we afford? Can we afford to say no? Well, if those wind turbines were going to be built, I would say we'd need free electricity. Every residential home on the island has to have free electricity. But really, to look at how this was negotiated, why it's come about, it's still a mystery. And I'd just like, I don't know, some of our politicians to come clean about it all. But wind turbines, wherever you go, you're up in Scotland, you're up in the Lake District, you're up in Northern Ireland, you see them. How much does it affect your experience of visiting the island? Well, for me, we'd rather have none if we can help it. But we need this energy independence. There's so many questions.
You keep going on about this £50 million deficit. So do you think the Isle of Man is backed into a corner financially?
Regarding the wind turbines?
Yeah.
I don't know. We had the news item last week where it could be 10 or 15% off your electricity bill. I found that a little bit puzzling. I just want to see the facts, really. I want to see the facts about this. And there's a lot of commentary, a lot of information that is just confusing. So let's, you know, we've got our elected representatives to unravel that.
Okay, our pirate radio fan's been on the text also saying we've got Frank Matcham. You mentioned Frank Matcham, but Radio Caroline North was here in the 1960s, as big an icon of the swinging 60s as Carnaby Street and the Cavern. And we don't have anything to celebrate Radio Caroline North for, you know, a 1960s concert or a festival or a weekend or something. And it was genuinely here for 4 years. It was the biggest radio station in the North.
It's true. I have an arrangement with a travel company, and I'm lucky to meet a lot of senior citizens who came here in the 1960s and the 1970s, and they speak so fondly about these times, and that kind of energy is gone. And just adding on to that, we need to look at accessibility on our island. Okay, so we attract those of a senior age who find mobility difficult. Right. And we have other groups where mobility is a real challenge. And I just wish that we could be a little bit more clever about making places more accessible.
Are we unfriendly to people like that?
Well, for me, there are some places where there's too many steps and so forth. But it's not just about that. I will say, if you go up to the Braid, where you've got this fantastic archaeological site, absolutely stunning, and yet you can't get there, you know, because the road's too dangerous. They wouldn't even put a pedestrian crossing there. There's no parking. The likes of Mull Hill, it's inaccessible, and so forth. And we could go on and say there's numerous places, but the accessibility issue is not on our political agenda, is it? It doesn't feature anywhere.
Okay. Just a final question in 10 seconds, if you can. What can we do for young people coming to the Isle of Man?
We've got a lot to offer, but I think we need more gravity sports. Let's get the tram taking people up to have a gravity experience, whether on a bike or a bobsleigh, down the valley from the bungalow. It doesn't have to go to the top of Snae Fell, but I think there's an opportunity there.
Okay, thanks for being with us today, Jed. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, listeners.
If you want to follow up, of course, the answer phone's always on, 682-631. And we're back with an open line tomorrow on Manx Radio. In the meantime, thanks to Chris on the phones. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.